Back Talk is an extension of the long-running award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by me, John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests. And my guest, I would banter with forever, and this is the internationally known Kevin Carr, film critic. And Kevin, I needed you for this one. I think it's a tough one because I think people are ambivalent about Borat.
Okay. Well, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it does. And this one is now, well, the title, forget it.
Borat's subsequent movie film. Let's leave it at that.
So Borat spent 15 years in the gulag?
14 years in the gulag because the government of Kazakhstan was not happy how he made them look.
Really?
In the first movie. So they decided to give him another chance. And they release him from the gulag and send him to America to bribe American officials into liking Kazakhstan again.
Listen, the bribe just amuses the heck out of me.
Oh, yeah.
He's bringing his daughter.
Well, originally he's bringing something else, but we don't want to go into that. Right. There's a little bit more. But yeah, his daughter tags along.
Right. And is going to offer her as a gift.
Yeah.
To Michael Penis, otherwise known as Mike Pence.
Yes.
Because he's known to love women so much, he won't be in the same room with more than one.
Yes. Cannot control himself, apparently.
He can't work.
I don't know what he does in the BMV. But
so anyway, so Kev, I guess I want people to listen to us because this is a worthwhile film.
Yeah. Well, it is.
Okay.
It is.
But why?
Well, if you go back to the original Borat, the original Borat wasn't just it wasn't just obnoxious, offensive, crass, cringeworthy comedy. The original Borat, in a lot of ways, took a mirror and held it up to America, and you saw the good with the bad. And that's the same thing he did with Bruno, and that's what he's always done with his TV series, the Diali G character, all the different characters he's had. And right now, 14 years later, it's time to hold that mirror up and see if anything's gotten better. Spoiler alert.
Well,
there's not some great stuff in this movie.
The film does tell us the big break was getting a strong man as our president.
Yeah. Well, and that's, it wasn't just that. I had heard that because Sacha Baron Cohen himself, he's Jewish, and was very troubled by the rise of anti-Semitism. Not just the rise of it, but the normalization of it.
Okay.
That's been going on. The fact that people are okay with siding in that. And I've railed for months about saying, look, the Nazis were the bad guys and we had a war over this and it's creeping back and this is a bad thing. And that's really where he was going with this, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the moments I loved, and I'll give it away anyway, is when he starts running and singing that the Holocaust is real. He's so happy.
Yeah.
To find out that the Holocaust
He discovered Facebook and it was worried because he saw that the Holocaust was a hoax on Facebook and that broke his spirit because that's, as he puts it, Kazakhstan's greatest moment.
See how outrageous this is.
Yeah, just how he spins things and it makes it has that biting satire. But one of the things you pointed out before is that it's extended into gender politics as well because he's got his daughter along.
Yes. Kevin, what a brilliant addition to take the heat off of him and put it on to a new character.
Oh, yeah.
The first Borat is all him.
It's all him.
Yeah. And now he's giving it up and a brilliant move to this fine actress.
Oh, yeah.
Maria Bakalova.
Yeah, is she a Ukrainian? Where is she from? Belarus or something like that? Bulgarian. I think she's Bulgarian. But yeah, she is amazing because she goes from this almost feral infantile child.
Yes.
To this, this info Barbie that you'd get on,
good one.
On let's just say, news programs that can't quite get on the television and end up on YouTube all the time.
And they even have her and him at the end.
Yeah.
And where she becomes something like an anchor, for goodness sake. She's so sophisticated.
Such well, a different... and the thing is, if the other thing I found interesting, because the whole thing is he has this bit where they have this book that explains the woman's place in Kazakhstan. And it's absurd.
Right.
I mean, it is absurd. But you know what it reminds me of? If you remember the movie Jojo Rabbit last
year. Yes, yes.
There's the whole thing where the little kid in Jojo Rabbit, he was writing this book about what the evil Jew was.
Oh.
And that's what it reminds me of, this weird little children's book that demonizes something so much. But that's where you see the... That's where you see the insidious nature of propaganda indoctrinating a generation. And that's, yes. I mean, it's this little subtle hint to that. He has all these little things that you throw in, and you could take it so far, but
the movie is larded with these moments.
Yeah.
And what I like about this is she helps to unify it.
Yeah.
Because you could accuse it of being set pieces all over the place, you know, but she helps as we see her change. And that's one of the things I love. Her early interest in Melania Trump was, I think, through a comic book, a fairy tale.
It looked like that. Any parent in this world has known you'll go and you'll want to buy a Disney video, but it's $40. So you buy the knockoff video that comes from like the Ukraine or something, and you watch it, and it doesn't quite sync up, and it looks really poorly done, and it's this Disney video about Melania Trump,
and I love the way he deals with women. For instance, her big achievement here would be able to get a golden cage.
Yes.
I mean, not just any cage which they would put women in.
Yes. A nice cage, like a big cage. Like they go like they're literally to a feed store to buy a cage, and she's like, "How many women would you put in this cage? Just one? Just me? Isn't that amazing?"
Well, Kevin, most of our listeners would have already heard that there's something worth seeing in this movie.
Yeah.
and that is, toward the end, the interview that she has with Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
Now, Kev, tell me, why am I enjoying this so much?
Well, it's how the mighty have fallen in a lot of ways.
Yes.
I mean, this was America's mayor.
Yes. And he has an interview with her.
Yeah.
In which he comports himself almost unbelievably.
And I know it's edited. I mean, they were probably in there for a lot longer, but she's obviously flirting with him, doing the touching of the knee and that, and he's all in for it. And the fact that he doesn't see this coming.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's what's funny about this, if you go back to Sacha Baron Cohen's history, there's a great bit he did on his TV show where he had Bruno interview Ron Paul. I don't know if you ever saw this clip.
Yeah.
And somehow he manages to get Ron Paul into a bedroom. And then Bruno starts stripping. But you know what? You know, say what you want to about Ron Paul. The second Ron Paul turned around and saw that, he was like, I'm done.
Yes.
He just walked out. And Giuliani at no point does he show any suspicion whatsoever. What's crazy about this scene, and everybody knows what happens in it because you've read the news.
Yes.
I watched it. We got screeners early. I was able to see it a couple days before it came out. And my jaw hit the floor when I saw this scene. And the scene where they go into the bedroom, I was like, well, you know, it was bad lighting. It could have been a body double. So I actually reached out to the studio and I'm like, can they verify that the people that are purported to be on video are in fact those people? I got a no comment. Like not just silence, I actually got no comment.
Oh, really?
Yeah, official comment from the studio was no comment. And then like the next day, Giuliani's out there tweeting about it. And I'm like, well, somebody just confirmed it because Giuliani's talking about exactly what happened. And it happened last summer and he had called the police and it actually made news in July. But when you see what happens between the beginning and him allegedly calling the police, there's some pretty unpleasant stuff.
You know, it reminds me of how much I like good documentaries. This is not a documentary, but you could get the feel of a documentary from it.
Yeah.
And this part of it reminds me that you don't have to do too much to savage the people you're interviewing. Just let them go.
Sometimes the best thing you can do is just give people the rope to hang themselves with.
Oh my God. So what else are we missing anything else, Kev? Any of the big topics?
Well, the big thing, I'll keep going back to this one because everybody's heard about the Mike Pence scene and the Giuliani scene, and how it is targeting the administration, which it is, and again, a lot of that's kind of low hanging fruit anyway.
That's right.
But the stuff that I find most important about this movie is the things he gets people to be complicit on in just everyday life. And I know there's some of these you can kind of like excuse away. Like he goes into a bakery. And he's like, I'm making a bakery. Well, what do you want to write? I goes, Jews will not replace us.
Yes, he puts on the top of the cake.
Which is a famous Nazi slogan, by the way.
Did you see how the woman didn't react at all?
Well, and then the thing is, there's so much in there because she's like, okay. And I'm like, okay, this could be, because I want to know what goes on. Because was she like, well, we get one of those cakes every couple of weeks.
Kevin's had barely a reaction.
Or is she the thing where she's like, well, if you can't deny somebody a gay marriage cake, can you deny somebody a Holocaust cake? I mean, these kind of things, it opens up that unfortunate Pandora's box of worms that you then... You kind of should talk about this stuff. This should not be stuff where we just like, or like the buying of the cage.
Yes.
He's like, I need a cage for my daughter. And the guy's like, okay. And at no point does the guy call the, I mean, maybe he did.
Oh, Kev, how about the one where they're sitting with this guy and Sasha is, or Borat, it leads him to think that he has fathered her child.
Yes.
And this guy is, no, we can't. He doesn't. He's not incendiary about it. The guy who's interviewing them.
Yeah, he's. Well, it's a lot of times. Going back to Candid Camera, sometimes it's the non-reactions that are the funniest.
Oh my gosh, I know it. So, well, what else do we have? This is great because there are so many different parts of it, and I think again that she helps bring this together. Also, Kev, another thing about his sidekick with Maria, his daughter. Tutra or something is her name.
Tutra, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's Tutar.
Tutar.
Is that, and he makes this point earlier, which I thought was very bright. He can't walk around America anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Borat.
Everyone knows exactly. And I remember saying this 14 years ago. I said, I don't know how he does it again.
Yeah.
And he did it with Bruno because he looks marginally different as Bruno.
Yeah. So bringing her in takes the heat off of him.
Well, I mean, even to the point during the Giuliani, he walks in the room and talks to Giuliani. And Giuliani is just enamored with Tutar's breasts to the point that he's like, whatever, tall guy, get out of my way.
Well, you know, Kevin, here's a question for you because you have a much better memory than I have, than most people have. The difference between this and the original Borat, because I think that some people are going to be concerned as to whether they should even bother coming back a second time. Well, is there a difference?
I think the country's changed. I think the country's changed enough. If there was any difference in terms of like where it shows that sort of unpleasant low-lying racism that exists in America, that was back in 2006 much more centered on Muslim activities. Because we're talking 5 years from 9/11. This is the reason Cohen decided to make this movie. He saw the growing anti-Semitism, and that's where you're starting to see this, and you're seeing not just the anti-Semitism, but the internally politically driven racism and the internal politically driven destruction of the society. And there's a whole scene in there where he sings in front, he pretends to be a singer at this gun rally, and he's singing stuff about, you know, what should we do with Clinton and Obama, inject them with the Wuhan flu, and he's getting people to do a call and response. He's like, should we cut them up like the Saudis do? And I'm like, these are some horrible things, and it's absurd in the movie, and it's funny, but you do realize people are going along with this, and they're going along with it not because it's okay. I don't even know if they think it's okay to chop up a journalist, which it's not, by the way, but the fact that because it's a liberal journalist, it's okay. That's kind of, that's the bait he's putting out there and reeling in. And I think that's, if there's any difference, it shows the enemy's internal on this one.
And you're mentioning the liberal side. Doesn't he go after Hillary? Am I forgetting that? Is that?
He makes some digs at her.
Yeah.
But I mean, not all. I mean, there's Hillary's kind of unimportant right now.
Now, what about Trump? Because there are people out there who say, I don't want another piece anti-Trump.
I honestly, I don't think, I mean, Yeah, he has fat jokes and small hand jokes and stuff. Like I said, it's all low-hanging fruit stuff. I mean, he's not going after... He doesn't have to go after Trump.
No, he doesn't. Exactly.
There's plenty of other people doing
that. Yeah, and in fact, it's probably not even funny anymore.
No, and I mean... He was not going to get anywhere close to Trump. He really didn't get close to Pence either.
No, but it was a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I'm saying it's like he got close to Giuliani, but I mean, this is not a deep dive into policy and modern politics. It's more political division and what it's doing to the country.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's the greater message.
Yes, yes. And I'm surprised that there was so little directly against Trump.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad he didn't, because it would negate the movie
exactly.
in a couple years.
Yes,
now you could look at his thing 10 years from now and be like, oh yeah. I mean, like, was the first Borat particularly anti-Bush?
No.
I think it really
was. You're right. Oh. Yeah. So he takes a much broader view, macro view of the world.
And you can say these things are doing something to the country, but he's talking about the country.
Yeah.
Even though he's British.
So if you're a fan of, say, Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
It's a completely different kind of satire.
It's a very different kind of satire. I know. I mean, Jon Stewart, I don't want to say that Sacha Baron Cohen is classless, because I'm not saying that. But the comedy tends to be very low. Can get very low.
Yes.
And can get very crass. Jon Stewart doesn't go.
No, he doesn't.
He's got a little more class to his presentation.
Much more restraint.
Well, it's because he had to put it on TV.
I know it.
Not HBO or something.
Oh,
like
well, Kevin, the film is Borat, a subsequent
movie film.
And I think, if I could speak for both of us, we're suggesting that it's worth a good look regardless of how you feel about this kind of satire.
Well, I think if you can't stand Borat and he annoys the heck out of you, I'd say skip it.
But if you've never seen Borat...
Give it a try,
because this is hardcore satire.
And go in it with an open mind. This is not Jackass.
Exactly.
This is not Johnny Knoxville trying to just fart in a jar or something like that. This is... You're right. It's high-level satire that masquerades as low-hanging fruit.
Well, Kevin Carr, thank you so much. It's a delight. Back Talk is produced by me, John DeSando. Listen to shows on the podcast experience at wcbe.org. And if you want to be even further delighted, go to fatguysatthemovies.com to hear Kevin.
Yeah, hear me spout off every week.